What's your password? For your email account? Facebook account? Bank account?
How much personal information to put online and how to protect it is one of the many questions we face in this digital data age. Web watcher David Siegel has proposed some answers, and Strange Shams talked with him.
For those of us who work and play online now, what do we know about the state of our personal information? Do we even have a handle on our own data?
Oh, I don't think we have any handle on our own data. When I sit down at the computer, I'm looking at about 23 tabs that are open to different websites, all of which have my data in them. That's why they're open. So everything from Facebook to banking to Twitter to own more or less my data, and I get permission to go access it, but they are the ones who control it.
Can you paint a picture? I mean, how much do they know? How much are they keeping track of?
I don't know. I think some people do know. Some people look at this pretty hard. We've certainly had the occasional discovery that Facebook now knows all your friends' phone numbers, and every time you sign into an app, it finds your great-grandmother's shopping list and so forth.
Because this is the thing that's puzzling to me. So, for instance, I use Amazon a lot, and It's very clear to me that Amazon keeps track of what books I've looked at. What good does that do them?
What harm does it do us not to have it? Everyday people value their information fairly little. We log in over and over and over and give our information to them, and we don't think anything of it. And then you go to a bank, an insurance company, a drug company, a credit card company, and you ask them, what's the most valuable asset you own? And they will tell you, it's our customers' data, because that's what traps them and keeps them inside of our brand.
So the suggestion, if I've got it right, the suggestion you've come up with is actually to put more personal information online. How would that work?
Well, the way we're going to solve our information problem is by adding more information. That's for sure. I can guarantee your name and address and are in several servers in India, probably in the Philippines, and very likely in North Dakota, not to mention hundreds and hundreds of other places. That's data dispersion that can really cause a lot of problems, not just for you, but for anybody who wants to find out your actual current contact information. So if you want to do it right, you own your contact information, let's say your phone number, should be in one place. You move, you change your address, you get a new phone, whatever, you change it, that should ripple through every contract you've signed, every place you've registered, every place that wants to send you something. That should just happen automatically.
So this is the concept you call the data locker?
It's related to the concepts, right? So the main thing in this is that everything should be unambiguous and it should live in one place. So a personal data locker is this place where you have all of your information. If you're the authoritative source on your data, then that's where you keep it. So when you walk into a doctor's office, you can wave your phone at them and they'll get all your information to the degree that you want them to. And if you ever want them to not have it, you can get it back.
So I'm getting a picture of a kind of gigantic online personal file cabinet in which all my stuff lives. The inventory of all of my possessions, there's the folder with all the kid information. It gives me access to my kids' middle school and their camp records and their doctor records. And that's in there, too. All of this stuff.
That's the point. It's a web of interconnected data, right? So when your kids go see the doctor has a record. That's tied in by a link. Everything is linked together into a real web. Today, we don't have that much of a web. The actual real data that we use every day is locked up, in websites that say, oh, we don't want to share it. We want all the buyers and all the sellers to come together in our site.
Wouldn't this be kind of risky? All somebody has to do to commit massive identity theft and empty my bank account is break into my personal data locker.
Feel pretty good about the way things are today, do you?
That would be a no. I can't decide if I think this is a really wonderful new world or slightly scary.
Or creepy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think?
So much more creepy than what we have today. Sorry, less creepy than what we have today. We just don't know it. We're somehow content to go to a doctor's office and fill out 6 pages of stuff that we don't need to fill out. We register everywhere over and over and over again.
What do you do? How do you control your own personal data?
I do the same stupid stuff everybody else does. I have a file on my phone that has all my passwords, and my passwords are mostly based on pet names with a few numbers thrown in. It's pretty much disastrous. I'm fortunate that I haven't had my identity stolen, and that we don't really have any good tools. The number one thing anyone can do right now to protect himself is reset passwords. It's the one thing we don't do, but resetting your passwords really goes a long way toward keeping you safe.
David, thank you so much for talking.
My pleasure.
David Siegel's latest book is Pull. He spoke with Ed Strange Champs.